From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. With today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday, rather, to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. Father Wade is in the house if you've got a question. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, that number is 1-205-271-2985. And we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Charles Beery is our celebrity producer today. Our call screener is Matt Gubensky, and Ace McKay handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host, the aforementioned Father Wade Menezes, how are you?
I'm doing great, but I just want to make it clear, Jack, that I am not broadcasting from the blue room of the White House. Although I would love to broadcast at some point Open Line Tuesday from the White House, but I am in the beautifully restored rectory here at St. Peter Church in Lexington, Kentucky. I've been here this week for a parish mission. It's been a great little parish mission, smaller parish, inner city parish, but very faithful attendees to the parish mission at all three weekend masses. So it's a delight to be here this week, and a shout out to Father Peter Joseph, the pastor here, and also to Mary, his parish secretary. Both have been so gracious and welcoming to me, and also have done a fantastic job, the two of them, promoting the parish mission this week. So it's nice to have driven to the parish mission this week, just about an hour and 50 minutes away from the Fathers of Mercy in Auburn, Kentucky, because I've been flying so much. So it's kind of a little treat to be able to drive this time around.
So it's the Feast of St. Joseph, big day in Holy Mother Church, big day for you. You run That's around, right, being called by the title of Father, and no better model than St. Joseph, huh?
That's exactly right. You know, he holds a place of particular honor on this solemnity in the church as the guardian of the Holy Family and spouse of the Blessed Virgin, the husband of Mary. He faithfully trusted in the astonishing news given to him by the angel that his betrothed, Mary, had conceived by the Holy Spirit and would give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. Joseph cared for Mary during her pregnancy and childbirth and bravely led his family into Egypt, as the second chapter of Matthew tells us, to keep them safe from the persecution of Herod. Huh? Both a humble carpenter and a descendant of King David, Joseph proved himself a worthy foster father for the Son of God. Now, Joseph's entire identity, Jack, derived from his unique relationship to Jesus as the foster father of the Son of God. Yet most men find their identity in their own bravado or their own prowess rather than from their subordinate relationship to another person. Yet Joseph is identified in sacred scripture as, quote, the husband of Mary, end quote, Matthew 1:16. Perhaps the only man in the entire Bible identified in such a way. So on the surface, it might seem from this description that Joseph was a second-class man, but no, not at all. Joseph took his identity from his relationship with Jesus, and Mary was undeniably the mother of Jesus. Joseph was linked to Jesus through Mary. Thus, he is described as the husband of Mary, quote-unquote, to spotlight his unique relationship to Jesus. Holy Mother Church has recognized the holiness and trustworthiness of St. Joseph over the years. For instance, Jack, Blessed Pope Pius IX in 1870 named St. Joseph officially the patron saint of the Universal Church. Also, the month of March is commonly known as the month of St. Joseph, and St. Teresa of Avila shares in her writings a particularly strong devotion to St. Joseph, whom she says never ever let her down when she asked for something through his powerful intercession. Joseph is the legal father of Jesus, Matthew 1:24. He acted as Jesus' guardian and provided for him. It is because of Joseph, then, the son of David, that the prophecy of the Old Testament is fulfilled that the Messiah would come through the line of David, from 2 Samuel 7, verses 9 through 16. That is, through the legal fatherhood of Joseph. Now, Joseph's great faith was beyond natural ability. It took a supernatural ability, so he was a graced man. Think about it. He became the foster father to a son conceived in the womb of a virgin. Joseph had strong faith that his espoused wife was pregnant not because of sexual relations, but rather by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, Matthew 1, verse 20 and forwarding verses as well. This was one of the greatest acts of faith in the history of the world, literally, not metaphorically. Joseph seemingly also had a rough life, right? He often found himself enmeshed in a series of unexpected circumstances. First, God became Lord of his marriage in a way that no man could ever have imagined, again, through the virginal conception of Jesus in Mary's womb. Then, like a common refugee, Joseph was turned away from decent accommodations when he and Mary needed them the most, that is, at the moment of Jesus' birth. Then, during a dark night, Joseph had to fend off a government-led assassination plot against his infant foster son. Matthew chapter 2, when Herod ordered the killing of all the male children 2 years of age and younger. Three times Joseph had to pack up and move his family on short notice, and he and Mary had to search in sorrow for 3 days for Jesus in Luke chapter 2. And then upon finding Jesus, Joseph heard Jesus say, "Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Well, even after learning such amazing humility and childlike trust in God, it must still have been a little difficult on a human level for Joseph to hear that he was playing second fiddle as a foster father, right? So thus, Joseph regularly submitted his intellect and will to God. That's the lesson here. He regularly submitted his intellect and will to Almighty God. Saint Joseph is a great example for us men, for everybody, but for us men in particular, in this fundamental obedience toward God, whether single men, married men, widowed men, or priests, consecrated religious men, brothers or priests in religious life, as Joseph followed the angel's instruction to take Mary as his wife, and then this life plan of his unfurled. Joseph had faith also, Jack, when he boldly obeyed the Lord and took Mary and Jesus to Egypt. And his faith was valiantly demonstrated when he returned to Nazareth, loved his wife, cared for his son, and worked as a carpenter faithfully and daily in his faithfulness to daily duty. In short, for the task of safeguarding the child Jesus, God chose a man who excelled in hearing and obeying, Saint Joseph, the man of faith, who never speaks one word aloud in Scripture, not one. The just, quiet man, huh? Saint Joseph also had to deal with scandal, homelessness, and persecution and exile. Go figure that one out. But accepted all of this gladly for Jesus and Mary, his spouse and his foster son. Joseph must have spent a lot of time on his knees in fervent prayer and petition for help from God. The circumstances of his life repeatedly taught him instant obedience, which sprang from his instantly hearing God's commands, namely through the angel, and which flowed from his constant prayer life, no doubt. With Joseph, then, let us be upwardly mobile, because he was constantly upwardly mobile. Let us cultivate the ability to instantly turn to God in prayer, hear his voice, and obey him in faith, just as he did for his own life, Saint Joseph, to safeguard always and continually his spouse, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and his foster son, Jesus Christ. And let us also remember, friends, that tradition holds that Saint Joseph died in the arms of Jesus and Mary, and therefore is the patron saint of what? Patron saint of a happy death. He was flanked on either side of his deathbed by his foster son, Jesus Christ, and his spouse, the Blessed Virgin. In the Litany of St. Joseph, one of Joseph's 32 titles is Terror of Demons, which I have put my Open Line Tuesday radio show under the patronage of that title ever since the show began just over 6 years ago on January 2nd, 2018. We always end the show with St. Joseph, Terror of Demons. So at the hour of our death, Be assured that the demons are working overtime to steal each of our souls. Therefore, we can confidently entrust ourselves to Saint Joseph, the terror of demons, for he is trustworthy always. So, Open Line Tuesday listeners, do you have a particular devotion to Saint Joseph as husband of Mary, or maybe May 1st Memorial Feast? Today's a solemnity. Maybe the memorial feast of St. Joseph the Worker from May 1st, Pius XII's institution of that feast to counteract socialism and communism's May Day. What is your particular devotion to St. Joseph? Give us a call on this great solemnity of St. Joseph, husband of Mary. Give us a call about your particular devotion to St. Joseph, the guardian of the Redeemer. He's got 32 titles in his litany. And we want to hear about your particular devotion to St. Joseph, this great, just, and quiet man.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Great new book, hot off the presses for the month of March from EWTN Publishing, from our old friend Marcus Grody, Guideposts for the Journey Home. You know, for over 25 years, the Journey Home program right here on EWTN has just enjoyed amazing success, and Marcus shares personal stories and conversions of hope in this new book and renewal to help readers stay close to Christ in his church amid life's storms. With some of the show's finest interviews, including answers to real-life questions that were posed by viewers during the program. In this treasure trove, you'll find fascinating stories about miracles, healings, and vocational journeys. That's Guideposts for the Journey Home by Marcus Grody, available now by Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. First up today is Cesar. He is in Sioux City, Iowa, listening on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Cesar, you are on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great, Cesar. Cesar, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. So, I don't really have a question. I just want to, like, say how St. Joseph, you know, it's amazing, you know, the miracles that happened through him and through our Lord God, our Father God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Great.
So I haven't been working, you know, and I just usually just go to the Adoration Chapel and just do the rosary and just read and read books. But one day, you know, I just started thinking, before I went to Adoration Chapel, I was in my car and I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I'm 28 years old. I don't have a job. You know, like, I'm just wasting my life pretty much. So this one day before I went to the Adoration Chapel, I just went one day and instead of doing the usual rosary and reading, I just started like thinking, like just begging, you know, just like, God, like, it doesn't matter no more. Like, I just need a job. You know, I just want to work. You know, it's hard to just drifting, crossing a line. You know, I was getting closer to my faith, but I wasn't working nowhere. And, I was doing that for probably like 40, 50 minutes, you know, just thinking, just begging, you know, just, I just need to worry. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I just want to work. And probably like I said, probably like 50 minutes, out of nowhere, I just got my phone started vibrating, and then it was a text message, and I looked at it. And then it was an interview for a job,
wow.
A job. Yeah. And then, so I got the job, you know, so I start there, tomorrow. And then yesterday, you know, during my orientation, you know, I was like I said, they hired me. They wanted to start tomorrow, and then yesterday, I went for orientation. And next thing you know, my dad called me. Hey, I got some work for you over here at where I'm at for maintenance. You want to come? And then I was like, yeah, heck yeah, you know, of course, you know. Like, I mean, I don't know, all these opportunities just starting coming out of nowhere. And like I said, I haven't been working in months. You know, it's been months. But I've just been DoorDashing, but DoorDashing is super slow. I'm barely paying any bills. But sure. Like I said, I just want to say that, you know, just comment that how St. Joseph, you know, the father of employment, the father of God, of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you know, I feel like he helped me deeply so much. And then also our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God, number one, you know, without God, I wouldn't be where I'm at, yeah.
And he was a worker. He was a faithful worker. He was very faithful to his daily duty. And of course, the second big feast day we have of St. Joseph is a memorial. Today's a solemnity, as I said in the opening comments of our springboard topic at the beginning of the show before the break. But it's St. Joseph the Worker, right? There's a wonderful community of sisters in Kentucky called the Sisters of St. Joseph the Worker. It's under that title that they have their patronage of their community. And we celebrate that every May 1st. So you combined our Eucharistic Lord and his real presence and your adoration and God the Father and of course the Holy Spirit and Saint Joseph and your prayer was answered. So thank you so much for a fantastic witness call, Caesar. We really, really appreciate it, and it shows the power of prayer. Thank you so much.
Next up is Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Matt is listening on Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting. Matt, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Wade.
Hello. Hey, I had a question about the Catholic teachings or view on the death penalty, and then a couple other questions, but that's where I wanted to start. What is the Catholic teaching on the death penalty?
Okay, when the Universal Catechism was promulgated by St. John Paul II, it was officially promulgated to the world in 1992. I believe we got the English translation in 1993, a year later, and you could actually purchase it in book form. And what John Paul II put in the Catechism is found in number 2267 in the section on the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," okay, under the subsection of legitimate defense, and it's individual paragraph number 2267, which has three succinct paragraphs in it. And this is the second edition of the Catechism. He says in the 1993 edition that given the means we have today for permanent incarceration of those who are a threat to society, being the means we have for permanent incarceration, the death penalty should be very rare, if not practically non-existent. Now, Pope Francis in 2018, 6 years ago, revised the third and final paragraph found in 2267. It was revised to read that, quote, "In the light of the gospel, the death penalty is inadmissible because it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person, and that the Catholic Church works with determination for its abolition worldwide." That's the and that's easy to find online to get that actual wording of the it's not really an addendum, it's an edit. I guess it is partly an addendum as well, but it's an edit to further clarify what John Paul II said in regards to it should be practically non-existent. So the John Paul phrase Pope Francis strengthened by calling it inadmissible. Great question. And you said you had another question?
Yeah, and so that's no matter what the person may have done, it should be nearly impossible to receive the death penalty. Is that correct?
We need to seek permanent incarceration so that the death penalty is not used. That's what we need to work toward, is better means of permanent incarceration for those who continue to be a threat, who had carried out a prior violation against the law. And we want to seek it ultimately to be inadmissible, but it's not that yet. Some states still have it. So until then, we want to make it practically non-existent. We want to fight for means, through the proper means of the law, for permanent incarceration. That's the primary goal of the Catholic Christian.
Thanks, Matt. We appreciate the call today.
Thank you, Matt, very much. God bless you now. Take care.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next stop, Cincinnati, Ohio. Margie is a first-time caller listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Margie, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes, hi. I have a quick question. I take a Tai Chi class, and the instructor told me she offered to do some sort of Reiki, like, I don't know if it's a healing thing over me, but I told her I had heard that Reiki was something that we were not supposed to participate in. She herself is a Catholic. She said they've done it to even, like, clergy people in the Catholic faith. But I was just wondering, what is the rule, or is there a rule, or what is the advice on Tai Chi and Reiki?
Yeah, and Jack, maybe you can even add to this what I'm about to say. It's clearly incompatible with Christianity, any form of Reiki, and that's enough for any committed Christian to not want to take part in any part of it. There's actually a U.S. Bishop's statement on it that you can find at the USCCB website, usccb.org. And so we want to stay away from that type of thing. Are you familiar that Johnette and Sue Brinkman on Johnette's show have talked about this frequently in the past? Are you aware of that, to go back and research some of those shows?
No, I was not aware of that. I will...
Margie, if you go to womenofgrace.com and click on the blog, Sue has well over 1,000 articles in that blog on the New Age and Eastern Oriental mysticism, and she's got any number of things about Reiki there. You know, and really, as Father Wade said, the bottom line is, just to expound on it a little bit, there is nothing physically, okay, the spirituality of anything, any of this Eastern Oriental mysticism, or really any of this martial arts stuff, the spiritual component of it is without question off limits for any devout Christian, or especially a Catholic. But the physical benefits that are claimed from any of these things can be easily achieved by less nefarious means.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And Women of Grace's website is just a fantastic, fantastic website for such questions on things regarding our Catholic faith. Should be a standard link on your home screen, in my opinion. It's just fantastic.
Does that help, Margie?
Yeah, that helps. So could you tell me what is it about them that is evil? Is it evil, or what is it?
You know, I would rather have Sue Brinkman speak to that, and you'll find, like I said, a wealth of information from Sue, who has researched this for decades, and she can really give you the lowdown on all the specific ins and outs. Father Wade, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, and I also want you to suggest that you go to the Bishop's Statement. The Bishop's Statement is actually quite good, and it will state the reasoning more in depth for you as well. You know, we don't look to Eastern spirituality that denies the God-man coming into the world to save us, nor anything that lends itself to that, not even in a merely therapeutic sense. It's just not wise to do.
God bless you, Margie. Thanks so much for
the call. Thank you, Margie.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It is a free telephone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. Also, if you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. That's openline, all one word, @ewtn.com. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Catherine in Washington, Brian in Arizona, Eric in Minnesota, Jill in the great state of Connecticut, and we've got plenty of time for your calls as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Right back to the phones we go. Catherine is in Spokane, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio today. Catherine, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Wade.
Thank you. Hello, Father.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We have lovely weather here. It's about 70 and gorgeous. I'm sitting out on my front lawn. So
I
just, first of all, yes, get outside if you can and you got good weather. I just want to thank you, Father, for your example and for bringing up St. Joseph. You were here, I think, at our retreat house last year here in Spokane.
And this year. I was there two Januaries in a row. I was there in January of 23 and January of 24.
Oh, I missed you. So I am sorry. Yeah, so I've been through a lot of changes this year. Good, the good, bad, and the ugly. But it's all good, and I give glory to God for St. Joseph. Been a big part of my life. And I told the guy on hold here because I said it's going to be hard for me to talk. But my parents are super strong Catholics here, and my mother was adopted, my father an only child, and they knew they wanted a big family. So I'm the youngest of nine. We lost one, all raised Catholic. Long story there, but I had been dating my husband for a couple years, and things were not necessarily, I wasn't living a chaste life at that point in my life, in my 20s and college age. And long story short, we broke up. I dated someone else and became pregnant, and I chose adoption. Open adoption, and actually was blessed to be able to interview the parents. And my husband stuck by me through all of this. We ended up getting married after the fact. So this is my St. Joseph example. It's my dear husband, and it's going to be 32 years of marriage this year. So it's a blessing, and I thank St. Joseph so much for being a part of this. I was blessed with five sons after my first son. So six boys, and they're all amazing individuals. And I was able to get in contact with the oldest here, who's on the other side of the state in the last few years. It's not complete reunion, but it's so been so blessed to have that connection again. And praise be to God. We've had obviously everybody's family some at some point I think suffers from abortion in their family history, and I'm no different there in my family line. And I just want to give God the glory because He's been so good to our family and so faithful. And I just want to call and say thank you for, because I've been super busy and hadn't actually been listening in to Sacred Heart recently, and happened to be coming from the cemetery. So seeing my parents' cemetery. So praise be to God. It's been a hard thing, but it's also been super, super blessings in these later years of being, realizing how blessed we've been.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful, and you, the way you word it to our call screeners that your husband modeled Saint Joseph for you, and so I commend him in that regard, and you for giving a great witness about that. So thank you so much for a fantastic call and a very blessed solemnity to you and to your family and to your. You said six
thank
boys,
you.
Right? You said
yes,
six.
Exactly.
If that's not sainthood for you, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and let me tell you, number four is actually number five by birth is actually 21 today on the Feast of Saint Joseph.
Well, and, there you have
another blessing.
Well, great,
yeah,
fantastic.
So it's been a great day. So anyway, thanks, Father. Appreciate it, and blessings to all EWTN. So.
Thank you, and enjoy that Spokane weather. All right.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Eric is in Minnesota listening on Real Presence Radio. Eric, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, thank you. Just tell me if you heard of this. I think I read it from Mary Agreda's Mystical City of God, which is essentially the Virgin Mary's autobiography. I know you know the book. It's extremely factual or interesting. How was St. Joseph chosen? I believe it came from this book where that he and a few other men, a number of other men, were some already consecrated to the temple or Lord in some respect, and they were all given a staff, and there would be a sign of some sort. And with Saint Joseph, who incidentally, I think it said, was 33 years old at the time, a lily sprouted from the end of his staff. And that is what, how he was chosen. And
yeah,
and wherever and, I heard it, go ahead.
Yeah, I have heard it, but I do not know what work of private revelation it is from. I can't tell you if it's Mary of Agreda or not. Jack, maybe you might know, but I don't know, but I have heard that story. And it's remember as beautiful as it is, it's still private revelation. So you know you can believe in it devotionally, but you wouldn't want to teach it to other people as de fide of the faith, because it's not of the faith. It's part of private revelation. But it is a beautiful story. There the men that when she was ready for her betrothal, there were several men there, and a sign was asked. I thought I had heard that it was a sign asked by Saint Anne, Mary's mother, to show her who the son-in-law should be, and that's when his staff sprouted with the white lily, which is often how you see him depicted. I've also heard that the white lily is simply a sign of his justness. He's the just man. You know, everything that he did that I described in my opening springboard topic, and all that he did without ever speaking a word in sacred scripture. I mean, you know, that's really a talent to get to that point like that. And yet he was so faithful. And so the lily is a sign of purity. It's a sign of modesty. It's a sign of justness. And so in a general sense, we also see the lily sprouting in his staff for those reasons. But yes, I have heard of that, Eric, and it is a beautiful story. Thank you so much for bringing it to our attention and sharing it on this great solemnity of Saint Joseph, husband of Mary.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Brian's up next in Yuma, Arizona, listening on Yuma Catholic Radio. Brian, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank you. I just wanted to share, appreciate the devotion to St. Joseph. I'll make it quick. During the COVID, the beginnings of COVID, I think all of us had little information. All we knew was that a radical disease was moving through the population very quickly and had a very efficient way of capitalizing on people's health issues and just, you know, taking out thousands of people at a time. I was in a job at the time where I was directly faced with COVID day in and day out. I was exposed by coworkers, by people that had it, and I had minimal face mask was just, is almost, I mean, it may block a little bit, but minimal as in it's just the basics. So I started a St. Joseph devotion. I was like, you know what, I'm pretty desperate here and this is not good. So everybody around me got COVID and I did not. And I think for a solid two years during the worst of it, I never got it. And when and some people may say, well, you may have gotten it. You might have just had asymptomatic symptoms and they passed through you. My answer to that would be no, because when I did get COVID, it was probably 3.5 years after COVID had shown up. And when I did get COVID, I had it and it was bad. It was really bad. And I'm a pretty healthy fitness type of person. So I'm like, okay, well, now I know what it is. I didn't have it during that time. So I can definitely give credit to St. Joseph and that devotion. Of course, I pray to Jesus, absolutely, it's Christ's intercession. But, you know, as we know, Christ and God use many people, you know, past and living to assist in the greater work. So I pray to St. Joseph to protect me. He protected me the whole time during that extreme exposure. I mean, people coughing in my face, being around them with COVID, you know, and I didn't get it. And then
praise God. And you were praying to St. Joseph for that specific intention with deliberate intent, with an act of the will. You were specifically making that intention at that time?
Yeah, it was very specific. And that's something I learned years ago by. Yeah, but yeah, I learned that sometimes when we pray to God or we would say prayers, be very specific, you know, be very specific. And I asked for that to be delivered from that. And my wife and I dodged it. And it was only the same thing. Then when we did get it, it was like I said, 3.5 years after the fact. And we both got it. and we knew we had it because it was bad. So I knew I knew it didn't pass through me when I was at my job. Oh no, I would have known. So anyway, just wanted to pass that on. So praise God for the Catholic Church educating us about, you know, devotion, and it's okay to have a devotion. It's okay to pray to those that have passed on, that have shown a very holy and high level life. So appreciate that. You guys have a blessed day.
Praise God, Brian. What a great witness, man. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your phone call, and we appreciate your listening to Open Line Tuesday. God bless you now, and blessed solemnity of St. Joseph.
We head now to the great state of Georgia. Zulma is listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Zulma, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Oh, my gosh, I am so excited.
Great.
I have been listening to the show for many years on my way home, and I'm like, one day I'm going to call. And I called today. I'm so excited.
Well, great, Zulma. And tell us specifically what I see on the call screener code here, why you're calling us. It is a very exciting reason.
It is really exciting. I am getting consecrated to St. Joseph today at 6:30 p.m. In my parish of St. Catherine Labouré in Jefferson, Georgia. So
we are
doing
God.
The consecration. The Mass will be in English, and the consecration is in Spanish because I'm doing it with my Spanish group. I'm from Puerto Rico, born and raised there, but I've been living in Georgia for 32 years. So,
well, wonderful.
My home.
How many of you are in the group, Zulma? How many of you are in the group that are making the consecration today?
We have like 20 people.
Oh, beautiful. And is your pastor going to impart the consecration? Is he going to lead you in it?
Yes, he is. Father Paul Moreau, he's the pastor, so he will be doing the consecration. He's from Canada. He speaks several languages, so he speaks Spanish, too. So he'll
Wonderful.
Be able to say the consecration in Spanish, too.
Right, and I presume that I presume that you all used Father Don Calloway's Consecration to St. Joseph book. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the one that we've been reading for the last 33 days. It's a really good book. Amazing.
Yes, wonderful. Yes, I did that last year, and it's a very, very moving book and a great historical book regarding things of the faith that we know and believe about St. Joseph and things that are based on pious devotion, but he makes excellent, excellent arguments for, especially through the writings of the church fathers. And so, fantastic. Well, Zulma, congratulations to you and your fellow consecration mates. As the 20 of you make your consecration to St. Joseph on this great solemnity of St. Joseph, husband of Mary. And those of you who might have never heard about Father Calloway's book, do be sure to look it up online and read some excerpts about it. It's fantastic. And pray about doing the consecration. The consecration can be done at any time of year. It's nice to wrap up the consecration to St. Joseph on a St. Joseph feast day, or, for example, any day during March, because the whole month is dedicated to him. But it can be done at any time. And it's kind of a companion consecration to St. Louis de Montfort's consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So thank you, Zulma, for a great, great witness call, and I'm so excited for you as well. God bless you now.
Thank you so much.
Jill is in the great state of Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Jill, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Jill.
Yeah. I do the consecration a couple times a year to St. Joseph and Our Lady. It's so amazing, and I would just recommend for any wives out there looking for presents in June for Father's Day for their husbands, hand them one of those. Hand them Father Don Calloway's book, because it's amazing. So
praise God.
I was thinking about purity, and I just came back from a vacation with my brother-in-law and sister, who are away from the church and very against a lot of stuff. And their main topic is about homosexuals and lesbians and that whole subject. And my brother-in-law, I patiently listened to him go on and on and on to me about how some of his best friends are leading a homosexual lifestyle, and how, you know, they're the nice people you ever want to meet, and, you know, you hating them, and you're going around hating them, and all this kind of, you know, garbage was going out of his mouth. And I just very gently said to him, you know, that's nothing. I said I go to Mass all the time. We don't ever talk like that about anybody, ever. And
that's
I
right.
said, you're called to love these people. And I said, they're people too. And you, like, acting like they're something different. I mean, they're children of God too. And he says to me, well, you know, what do you, I said, the church is, the big thing is really, it's the act of sodomy and how that, you know, it's unnatural. And God said no. And he starts rattling how the Old Testament said that, but the New Testament, Jesus, you know, all this stuff. And then he's like, well, what do you want them to do? You know, hold hands. And I tried to just silently pray the Hail Mary to myself because I thought, okay, this is very hard to unravel. But there was a part of me that wanted to kind of straighten out. I mean, there was a lot of untruth that he said, and I just didn't know how I should have handled that.
Yeah, well, you know, you want to give the church's teaching first and foremost in that we don't say the things that he's claiming we say in regards to being hateful towards any class of people. And secondly, you want to try to share with him, and you may not be able to do this in the first meeting, especially on vacation, but maybe do a follow-up call or a simple letter to him, maybe a simple letter, you know, if you would like to, I'd like to maybe talk to you again at some point about the topic that you brought up regarding gay marriage and the lifestyle of gays and lesbians and what the church actually teaches, because I feel the need to share with you the beautiful teachings of the Catholic faith in regards to what the church exactly teaches about that. You know, and then praise God, he wants to be open to that. You know, you can maybe explain to him that marriage was Satan's first target in the Garden of Eden, right? And it was one of his preferred fields of battle through the Old Testament. We constantly see that in marriages in the Old Testament. The British schism in the Protestant Reformation began when a committed Catholic, King Henry VIII, wanted to divorce his wife, Catherine of Aragon. And so today, the battle over marriage still rages on. You know, make no bones about it. Satan's having his field day with marriage. But, you know, basically, you want to, in time, this isn't going to be all reached in one meeting. You have to understand that, okay? Chances are not, apart from a particular grace being received, which can happen. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's not likely to happen, depending on how hardened they are in their views and in their hearts towards being open towards truth. Ultimately, this gets down to not so much the topic itself that you're discussing with him, but it's more importantly, the topic is, are they open to revealed truth? That's the thing, you know, right? So in all the church's social teachings, de fide, these are teachings of the faith. They're revealed to us. Marriage is the institution which brings forth into existence the human family that is made in God's own image and likeness, which is the fundamental unit and nucleus of society, marriage and the family. And the church teaches that marriage per se has two ends, manifested in the meaning and purpose for which they are absolutely inseparable. The meaning is the unitive aspect of the spouses in the conjugal embrace and the conjugal act, and the purpose is the procreative aspect that can come from this conjugal embrace. Not every time, but it can. And thus the begetting and education of children, right? These ends cannot be achieved within so-called gay marriage. You know, so the church upholds these two ends of marriage, the unitive and the procreative, as also the life-giving and complementarity aspect of male and female, as God made the human person in his image and likeness, he made them male and female. And so, again, these two ends of marriage, the unitive and the procreative, also involve the life-giving and complementarity of the two genders. And so, that is to say that an actual life is brought into existence and is taught to live responsibly through God's grace and being other-centered and in pursuance and cultivation of the virtues, the ultimate one, which is of love, you know. These principles are very, very important for the wholeness of the human person. So you're not going to achieve all this in one sitting, but you want to slowly but surely let him know that you're open to talk about this topic, and you want to approach it from the pursuance of truth, is how you want to approach that. So remember, I forget if you said this was your brother or brother-in-law, but regardless, you're not his savior. Jesus Christ is his savior, but you are his evangelizer and you are his prayer warrior. And so that's the approach you want to take personally, interiorly, anytime you approach him or talk to him about this or any topic that goes against the natural law, or any topic that objectively speaking, not subjectively speaking, because subjectively it could be venial if the person doesn't have the awareness of the fullness of truth, but objectively speaking, anything that falls under the category of mortal sin, grave matter, it seriously contravenes God's moral law and the Ten Commandments. The person has fullness of knowledge that it's grave matter. And then thirdly and lastly, they do it with deliberate consent of their will anyway. So the church teaches that the orientation is not sinful, the activity is. Well, heck, so is adultery between marrieds, and so is fornication between singles who are heterosexual. So the goal here is to want to shun any and all mortal sin in life, of not only my own personal life, but in my friends' lives, my family's lives, my spouse's life, my co-worker's life. The greatest love that one can have for another in this life while still living is to lay down their life for them. Jesus is clear about that. But what's the greatest love that one can have for another in the next life, even after this earthly life? What is that? To one day see them in heaven for all eternity. That's the goal. So these are the truths you want to approach in approaching the singular topic with him. You want to approach these peripheral topics, the pursuance of truth, the pursuance of love, and what that means in God's image and likeness we're made. And the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is a communion of divine persons in love, which says something about how human persons should have love for one another. You know, but the love has to be authentic. It can't be a love on a whim that's based just on the passions, emotions, and feelings. Why? Because the passions, emotions, and feelings are fickle. They can swoon one way one day and one way the next. No, we build on the solid foundation of truth, which has been revealed in Jesus Christ, the God-man, whom the Father sent as his only begotten Son. So again, in approaching the singular topic of this that you did on vacation with him, you want to first understand that you want to extend an invitation to talk about this again, but you're not going to probably want to approach the topic directly. You want to approach it first and foremost from the pursuance of truth and wanting to embrace the fullness of revealed truth, which for Catholics is sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium, and everything that all three of those, what I call the three-legged stool, reveal as divinely revealed, either through the written or oral tradition, as being divinely revealed by God to put us on the path of salvation. And the sacrament of matrimony, as one of the two sacraments of vocation and mission, falls under that. So, you know, maybe Jill, what you want to do is tell him that you cared a lot about the conversation you did have with him on vacation, so much so that you were moved to call Open Line Tuesday, and then send him a link to this podcast. And let him listen to what I've just said. And then maybe you could say in your email that you send the podcast, say, you know, after you've heard this podcast, a section of the 1 hour broadcast, and tell him exactly where he can find it on the count, because he may not have the time to listen to the whole show. Tell him where he can find it on the count, from this count to this count. Say, once you've listened to what Father Wade said on Open Line Tuesday about what we know about the sacrament of matrimony and the pursuance of truth and wanting to shun mortal sin, etc., if you feel like you'd want to, I would love to talk to you again, because as my brother, I love you, or as my brother-in-law, I love you. And my goal is to share the truth with all those whom I love. And even those whom I don't love, I want to share the truth with. And who knows, maybe after listening to this section of the podcast today, of the live show on podcast, I mean, he'll be open to that. So maybe you can extend that invitation to him. Does that kind of help you out, Jill?
Yeah, that helps. The one thing he was really concerned about it is he said, you know, I really love my friend. He's like my best buddy and this and that. And
more,
I said, well,
more reason. It's precisely because of that love for your friend. You want to lead your friend to the fullness of divinely revealed truth. That's the crux right there. Don't deny him what he's saying about his friend. I have no doubt what he's saying about his love for his friend is very magnanimous and grand in his life. His friend means that much to him. More reason to want to lead the friend to the fullness of truth.
And, you know, Jill, here's a little tidbit that goes right into what Father Wade is just saying. with regard to love and love of his friend. Do you know, Jill, do you know what the life expectancy for an active homosexual male in America is?
46.
43 was the last number I heard. So, I mean, that's not love, you know?
Jill, thank you so much for a great call and great witness as a friend yourself to your brother-in-law, and for calling Open Line. We really appreciate it. Invite him to listen.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners this day and always. And St. Joseph, terror of demons and husband of Mary,
pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Charles Beery, call screener Matt Kubinski, and our social media maven, Mr. Ace McKay. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for Beacon of Truth. Deacon Harold today talking about what happens when we participate in evil acts. Until we get together tomorrow with Father Mitch, God bless.